Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We remain standing for our song. Congregation may be seated. In the movie Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner plays a farmer in the Midwest, not quite Nebraska, but Iowa, neighbor next door. And this actor by the name of Ray has an assignment to do. And what is that assignment? Oh, spoiler alert. It's supposed to build a baseball field. Yeah. Newsflash, if you're walking around the cornfield in the middle of Iowa and you hear voices, it's time to phone a friend. Okay? Just fair warning. And it's hot out there. Don't be a hero. Okay? Yeah, he's supposed to build a baseball field. And he starts to hear these voices in the midst of his day-to-day activities, out as he's wandering around between the rows and the corn. If you build it, he will come. And it's not the last time he'll hear this voice. In fact, he hears it throughout the movie, at different points and different times, strategically placed for him to hear and for him to respond to. If you build it, he will come. Go the distance. Ease his pain. And if you've seen this movie, if not, that's okay. But if you've seen this and you know that throughout the movie, he struggles to respond to these commands, these verbal assignments that he's getting out in the middle of nowhere. And maybe you would too, especially if you're hearing voices in the middle of a cornfield in Iowa. But throughout the movie, I think it's safe to say this, and maybe you've found this to be true as well as you watch this movie. One of the big struggles Kevin Costner or Ray faces in the movie is just this, this nagging and persistent question that he's struggling with deep down in his heart and his soul. What's in it for me? I realize that maybe not all of us come from an agricultural background. But to rip up your cornfield, it costs you something. It's part of your livelihood, part of your income. To tear down your cornfield, especially when the corn is about this tall and harvest is just on the horizon, it just doesn't make sense. It's a costly activity. But then that's not enough, so Costner Ray goes on his travels and starts to pick up people here and there. And at every corner and every twist and every turn of the plot, he's given some kind of facet to this assignment. But throughout, I would make the claim that deep down, Ray's wondering, what's in it for me? And I wonder if there's been a point in your life where maybe you've found yourself asking the same question. What's in it for me? Maybe you've been working at a job for a number of years and you've been putting in the hours more than it was initially communicated. And maybe you find yourself at this point of now wondering, what's in it for me? Or maybe in a friendship or a relationship where it feels very one-sided with things especially like forgiveness and love and grace. And you start to ask that question, what's in it for me? Or you volunteer somewhere, or you give up your time, or you give up your money, or yourself, and you give, and you give, and you give. And there's a part of you that cries out from deep within you, what's in it for me? There's a question on the hearts and minds of Jesus Christ's followers. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Peter, James, John, and the crew. The end of chapter 19 in Matthew, right before our gospel reading from today in the parable of the workers in the vineyard, we see Jesus' followers actually come to a point of actually verbalizing this to Christ. And this is the conversation that Matthew records for us. Pick it up at verse 27 for us. Peter answered, Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Can you hear it? Can you hear the question? Jesus, what's in it for me? Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. This serves as kind of the sneak peek or the preview to what's coming just around the corner in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. And in a way, this is what we see happen in this part of Matthew's gospel account. Jesus sets it up like this. And what I want us to take away from this morning in part is just this. Jesus responds to Peter's question and the rest of the disciples' question about what's in it for us. We've followed you, we've served you, we've left our livelihoods behind, we've left our family behind to follow you, Jesus. What's in it for us? So Jesus gives this answer. He said it's like this. There's a guy who owns land, and he goes out early in the morning to look for workers. And this is what he goes and does. He goes to someone who's not working in the marketplace, and he says, come and work for me, and I'll pay you a denarius, or a day's wage for your work, if you would go and work in my field. Early in the morning, he's a sunrise person. He's a Starbucks kind of guy. He gets the venti, espresso. He's on his way, but he doesn't stop. He's looking for somebody else to go and work in his field. So he goes back to this marketplace where people are kind of milling around. And he goes and he says, how about you? Would you go and work in my vineyard? Throughout the day, this guy just keeps going out and making trip after trip after trip. 6 a.m. in the morning, sunrise, 9 a.m. But he doesn't stop. Keeps going around looking for someone else to work in his field. Goes out about noon. How about you? Would you go also and work in my vineyard? Now, I don't know how many business people we have here today, but I can't help but wonder if you maybe had the same reaction I did when I first read this. If this is a businessman, he's kind of missed the ball a little bit, hasn't he? I mean, if you have a project in mind, don't you count the cost beforehand? I mean, don't you count how many people you're going to need before you set out? Just from an efficiency standpoint, isn't that what you do? But see, the thing is, this landowner is not like any other landowner. There's more to him. It wasn't enough that he had 3 people working for him who didn't have a job before, but he goes back out again at 3 o'clock. He says, hey, would you two go work in my vineyard? And if that wasn't enough, he goes out at the 11th hour, Scripture says, or 5 p.m. as we know it. And he says, would you two go work in my vineyard? And the promise he makes, especially to the last 4 participants, thank you, participants, is just this, that I will make it right. I will pay you what it's right. I will give to you what's right. So from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m., this landowner has quite the crew working for him. And then it comes time to pay. And if you're following along in today's gospel reading, where did he start? At 6 a.m. or the 5 p.m. crew? He starts at the 5 p.m. crew, and he starts to pay. Pays the 5 p.m. crew, pays the 3 p.m. crew, pays the noon crew, pays the 9 a.m. crew, and then comes to the 6 a.m. crew. Based on our gospel lesson this morning, this didn't sit so well with our group. Which of the 5 crews had issue with how payment was made? Warmer or colder? Colder, warmer, 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 warmer. The 6 a.m. crew had big issue with it. And maybe from our worldly lens, maybe that's how we see it. Proportionally speaking, this guy, thank you, this guy shouldered the heat of the day. And if you've worked outside in the heat of the day, you know what it's like. So the 6 a.m. crew has issue with which of these? Warmer, colder, warmer, warmer, warmer. They had issue with the 5 p.m. crew because in their eyes it wasn't proportionate to the work that they had done. But wasn't everyone paid what they were initially promised? Didn't the landowner keep his word? And the answer is yes. So I wonder, and as you're kind of soaking this in this morning, I wonder where the disconnect was. Because if the 6 a.m. crew was promised a denarius or a full day's wage, by the way, if you're that person that loses your change, don't lose the denarius. It's a day's wages, all right? Just keep that in mind. If they're paid what they were initially promised, then what's the issue? It's just this, a comparison. Only when the 6 a.m. crew started comparing their work over and against everybody else did they have issue. And if we're unpacking this just a little bit more, then we start to see that it's not so much an issue with the gracious, giving, compassionate landowner. The issue rests right here. And I wonder if there's a place in your life where you've fallen into that trap of comparing yourself over and above others. Or maybe landing in this place of feeling like something's maybe not fair. To neglect of all the blessings that do come, especially from God to you. See, the thing is about this landowner is just this. He's not an uncalculating businessman who just doesn't get it. The thing about this landowner is just this. He's a gracious and compassionate person. The people out in the marketplace aren't in a place to soak in the food stamps or the welfare system because there is none. And unless someone steps into their situation and changes the situation for them, they have nothing. They have no identity, they have no income, they have no food, they have no clothing, they have no shelter, they got nothing. So this man knows full well the cost, and yet he goes out and he pulls people in. And maybe, just maybe, as you're seeing this come together for you today, and maybe as you're starting to think about and process more about the grace of this landowner that covers everybody, maybe, just maybe, you're starting to see a glimpse of someone else whose grace and compassion and sacrifice and love and heart to go out covers everybody. And maybe, just maybe, we start to see a little bit of your Savior and mine, Jesus Christ, for you, who goes to that person who's just entered life and says, follow me. But goes to that person on their deathbed who's pulling in their last breath and says, come with me. To the thief on the cross, Jesus responds in grace, today you will be with me in paradise. To you and to me today, whether you've known Christ your whole life or maybe you're starting to just come to that place where you're knowing a little bit more about Jesus and his love for you and his death and his resurrection for you and the hope of eternal life that doesn't bank on scorecards, but it's all about Jesus and his grace for you. Whether you feel like you've been the first or the last, this Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection, it covers you too. Thank you. You guys can take a seat. Thank you. Towards the end of the movie, Field of Dreams, after Costner's character, Ray, has done all these different things and has wrestled throughout the minutes and hours of the movie, days and weeks for him, after wrestling with this question of what's in it for me, he comes to this very profound situation at the end of the movie, and maybe you've seen this. He gets a reunion beyond all imagination. Who does he meet with at the end of the movie? His father. You see, he gets back the relationship he lost so many years ago. He gets the opportunity to say the things that he just didn't get to say before. And because of the working of somebody outside of himself, outside of his own little bubble, he has a reunion beyond all imaginations. Friends, this is what God does for you and for me. Today, I pray that we'd be able to put aside this question of what's in it for me, and I pray that we'd be able to see that you already have, through Jesus Christ, a reward and a reunion beyond all imagination, not based on your works or your merits or what you've done or what you haven't done, but because of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for pursuing us when we've told you so many times that we're just not interested. God, so oftentimes we view our relationship with you based on our experience here on earth. Or maybe we have relationships and situations and conversations that aren't filled with unconditional love or grace or forgiveness. Perhaps we've begun to see our relationship with you based on what we do for you or do for others. Maybe we've even fallen into the trap of comparison, just like the 6 a.m. crew, where they completely neglect the gift that's been given to them freely while they opt to compare themselves to others. God, today we ask that you would just set aside all the things that don't need to be there, particularly in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. God, we ask that when we're tempted to wrestle with the question of what's in it for me, remind us that it's not an it's a who. It's Jesus Christ, who comes to us with grace, mercy, and forgiveness, particularly through our baptism and in a moment, Holy Communion. Thank you for pursuing us and finding us where we're at. May we follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus and continue to labor in your field that others also would see Christ. And the last would be first, and the first would be last. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time in our service.